You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll find out how House Speaker Paul Ryan's departure could impact the Republican Party in Congress and what it means for Wisconsin's first congressional district. First, many people check social media apps on their phone several times a day without even realizing they're doing it. It's becoming an unnoticed habit, and it may be time to consider if it's a habit worth keeping. On the flip side, for those who are very light social media users or new to the networks, figuring out the unspoken social rules and hidden ad placements can be pretty confusing. Guy Harrison is a writer, reporter, and advocate for science and reason. His latest book is called Think Before You Like, Social Media's Effect on the Brain and the Tools You Need to Navigate Your Newsfeed. Guy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Great to be with you, man.
Well, Guy, you go through a lot of the ins and outs of social media. Big picture, and you've been thinking about this as you wrote the book. Social media, good or evil?
Impossible to answer one or the other, because it's both. It really is both. I mean, on one hand, social media is just such a pure expression of our humanity. You know, we are social creatures. We connect. We communicate. That's what we do. That's what allowed us to kind of rise up out of the jungle and build all these great civilizations, you know, networking, passing information, sharing. That's how we do it. So yeah, it's part of us. It's who we are. But then the dark side, the bad side, is that, of course, just like everything else we come up with, it's great. You know, we kind of twist it and turn it in ways that can really harm us. You know, it's like probably 5 minutes after the Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk, I'm sure somebody said, hey, we can use that airplane thing to kill people. It's just who we are.
One of the biggest issues out there lately has been how our data is used. The Cambridge Analytica story hitting Facebook is the latest example of that. But that's been a worry for advertisers, for our privacy, things like that. It's something we have to consider when we go online. What do you think about when you are online when it comes to how all the stuff out there about you is going to get used?
Yeah, that's a big thing in my book, Think Before You Like. I just constantly push the theme of people must be aware. That's the first step. You have to understand that everything you do on the web, everywhere you go, it's all being just harvested, recorded, saved by somebody somewhere. And nobody's required to tell you. Nobody's required to dump it after a certain amount of time. I mean, it just gets passed around. Who knows where your footprints end up? And you got to be aware of that. And when you really confront that reality, and when you think about it, you don't have to panic and, you know, go live in a log cabin in the woods off the grid forever or anything. You can still use the internet, use social media. But that simple awareness is the first step towards really making you a more savvy, sensible, safer user. Because generally, people just share too much, and they're just way too open, and they're just giving away so much. And for give you a real quick example, Rob, I was at a tea shop, and this guy asked me that worked there. He says, hey, why don't you get the app? You get a discount every time. And this is while I was writing this book, and I said, sure, I'll check it out. And I went to the website, looked at the app, and then I actually read the terms of agreement, which no one ever does, of course, but I read it. And I was shocked, you know, this simple little app, so you can get a, you know, 5% off on your tea or coffee or whatever. If I agreed to it, it would allow access through my smartphone to all of my text messages, every photo I take or ever had taken, all emails, all my contacts, all that stuff, just so I can get a little bit off on a tea, you know, a cup of tea. Is that really worth it? I don't think so. You know, these apps, the reason all this stuff is free, social media, the apps and all that, it's all free because you're not paying with money, you're paying with your life, your privacy. That's what they're taking, and they're using that. They're either selling that or allowing advertisers they make money off to target you more precisely.
But is that just the price of admission? If we want to play on, say, Facebook, and I'm looking at your book here with more than 2 billion users, or Tumblr with 550 million, or lots in between, bigger and smaller, if we want to join this part of human sociability, that's what they require of us. How do we make that decision?
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to give up some privacy if you play in the social media playground at all. But here's the thing. If you're a little bit smart about it, if you don't give away everything, and if you always keep in the back of your mind that a potential employer, a potential romantic interest, somebody in my future who matters to me may see this one day, it might give you that little moment of pause before you tweet some horrible emotional reaction to something, or before you post that picture of you, you know, running around in your underwear at the party or something on Facebook. You know, before you do that, you might want to think the possible consequences through, because this stuff does have implications for jobs, you know, the apartment you want to rent. It's amazing. There are right now companies which offer their services to big corporations, help them hire. Whereas a company, you know, right now in the US, an HR person in a job interview cannot ask a job candidate what their religion is, are they liberal, conservative, what's their position on hunting or abortion or something like that. But they don't have to, because it's all there on social media. And these firms will actually crunch your social media presence, your footprint throughout the internet, and just give a score, just hand over a score to this a company that may be interested in hiring you. And based on that score, you may or may not even get a call to come in and interview for the job, and you'll never know why. You know, that's how serious this stuff is. And just simply knowing this, I'm not condemning social media, I'm not saying everybody needs to get off it immediately, but wow, you must be aware.
Guy Harrison is with us. We're talking about his book, Think Before You Like, Social Media's Effect on the Brain, the Tools You Need to Navigate Your News Feed. Let's talk about that brain a little bit, Guy, and the idea, the question of whether the internet, social media is addictive, or at least a compulsion, habit forming. How do we manage our time and attention that we pay to social media?
Yeah, there's some controversy with that. The whole internet addiction, the social media addiction thing. Everybody throws that word addiction around. But actually, within the medical community, there's disagreement. Some people say it's not a real thing. Others say, oh, yes, it is. You know, and I've got the patients to prove it. So, yeah, right now, it's such a new thing that many health professionals are still coming to grips with it. And, you know, I talked to experts. I've looked through many studies. And the conclusion I came to that it's bad. Social media is bad for you if it's bad for you. And if it's not, it's not. And what I mean by that is some people can use social media 40 hours a week. They can be on it hours and hours a day, and they have fine, happy, productive lives. They don't skip a beat. Other people, 2 hours a day could devastate their life. It could ruin their marriage. It could make them forget to pick up the kids after school. So yeah, it really is sort of a eye of the beholder thing. You know, you got to watch out. Same with alcohol. I mean, some people drink a little and have all kind of problems. Some people drink heavily and still function well in society. So yeah, you've got to really look at it from a very personal standpoint. Are you giving up too much time? Are you sacrificing, compromising your life in areas that are important to you or should be important? You got to really step back and assess. And there's great apps in the book. I give recommendations for apps, free apps. Here I go recommending an app. There's a contradiction. But there's apps that will monitor your social media use. And that can be eye-opening. I mean, at the end of the week, you look and you go, whoa, wait a minute. I spent 30 hours on Facebook? What? You know, that's another job, a full-time job almost. So yeah, there's ways around this. But yeah, bottom line, I would say take it seriously, because we are creatures of habit, and we can easily get hooked on something like, you know, social media, and it could cause problems in your life, especially when these social media companies are doing everything possible to hook you and keep you stuck on those screens and coming back as often as possible. They pay, you know, smart people a lot of money to figure out how to design those little screens with the little bells and whistles to excite your little subconscious mind.
We're talking to Guy Harrison. His new book is Think Before You Like, Social Media's Effect on the Brain and the Tools You Need to Navigate Your News Feed. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, experiences, and questions for our guest. What are your social media concerns? Do you have a social media habit, a routine? Do you feel like you use it too much? Have you made a conscious decision to quit or at least scale back your use of Facebook and other social media sites? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Guy Harrison about his new book. It's called Think Before You Like, Social Media's Effect on the Brain and the Tools You Need to Navigate Your News Feed. Call 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Has social media had a positive impact or negative impact on your life? Do you feel like social connection on social media is really sociable, or is it missing something if you're not seeing people for real? Or, as some people say, does social media lead to those in-person contacts? How do you use it? Have you felt like someone you know is hooked on it, whether we call that addicted or not? Have you cut back on Facebook or other social media? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Guy, you also write about our sort of filter bubble, some people call it, the bubble of like-minded people we can surround ourselves on, all the more so on social media. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. It always has been, though. It's just, it's become such an obvious thing with social media. Basically, what a filter bubble is that you just sort of intellectually dwell in this zone where the only news you read is the kind of stuff that you agree with already, and the only kind of humans you interact with are people who agree with you on everything. And so it's a comfortable place, and it gives you a reassuring world, you know, reassures you that your worldview is correct all the time, no matter how crazy it may be. And it's a real problem, because one of the best things about a human mind is that it is just built for constant learning throughout life. And when you're in a filter bubble, you're not really learning. You're not really challenging yourself. You're not really thinking. You're just sort of treading water. You know, you're not getting anywhere. And so I have a whole chapter on this. It's such a serious challenge. What I recommend people is, you know, broaden your base. Interact with people who do not agree with you. And yeah, it can be a challenge. Believe me, I know it can be, but you need to do it. You can't just hang out with clones of yourself all day. It's not going to be beneficial for you. It's not going to be stimulating. And plus, you need to hear the other side of the argument, no matter how obviously wrong it is. You got to listen, because the thing is, with our brains, we've got all these subconscious biases that just set us up. You know, confirmation bias is a big one. So we're always collecting. We're always noticing and emphasizing and remembering data, arguments that agree with our beliefs. And we're always just kind of not hearing or forgetting data, conclusions, comments that somehow contradict our beliefs. So we're always building up these lopsided cases in our head that make our worldview obviously true. And the way you give yourself a more realistic worldview is you got to look at the other, you got to give the other side a fair hearing, and you got to interact with diverse people. You got to hear those other opinions. That is crucial. And a good thing about social media is that you can do that. You know, don't block everyone who disagrees with you. Don't only seek out people that are just like you in every way. You want to mix it up. That doesn't mean you necessarily have to go friend 50 neo-Nazis or something just so you can feel diverse. But somewhere before that, you can really mix it up good, and it'll be to your intellectual good health.
What's tricky is we can end up with a bubble without even consciously trying to create it. If I, you know, share stories on, I don't know, the Green Bay Packers, then all the algorithms on Google and Facebook, they're going to start forwarding me Packer stories. I didn't make a decision to not interact with Vikings fans, but once I made those first steps, it just sort of naturally happened without my being conscious of it.
I'm so glad you said that, Rob. That's one of the key problems with social media as it exists today, because they've set up these algorithms to keep you on it, to keep you happy and hooked and coming back. And the way they figure you do that is just give people what they want. Okay. And what you want is not always what you need. You know, if you're a flat earth believer, then you're going to be really happy if all you get is little ads about flat earth books and YouTube links about how flat earth is reality and all this kind of stuff. And you're getting all these friend suggestions, people who also believe in the flat earth, then you're going to be, you know, really happy with your social media experience and keep coming back. So that's what they want. You know, Facebook doesn't care how many people believe in a spherical planet. They care about how many people they got coming back to Facebook every day. So those algorithms are designed to feed you what you want. That's one of the biggest problems with social media, because we should be challenging ourselves. We should be using this to grow and to expand our networks and to expand our minds and our knowledge base. That's the real beautiful potential of social media and the internet, that we can connect with people we otherwise wouldn't, not to just create these more rigid tribal boundaries around us. That's one of the great challenges of social media we need to straighten out.
Do you think those rigid tribal boundaries are spreading out into the real world? Is this informing how we think about politics, science, whatever?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. And I'm not fatalistic about it or anything. I think things will get better. But yeah, right now we're kind of in a bad place. I mean, it's so easy now. I think we're seeing this explosion of conspiracy theories and all this stuff. And they've always been around. But wow, they're just getting so much attention now. I read something the other day, something like a third of millennials are skeptical of whether or not the Earth is round. I mean, I don't know if that's an accurate poll, but that's pretty disturbing. I mean, I am sure that is directly the cause, you know, can be directly pinned on YouTube videos and things they read on social media, you know. So yeah, we've got to tweak the formula here. We got to figure out how these social media companies can make all their billions so they're happy, without manipulating our minds and steering us all into these little weird tribes apart from one another.
I want to go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 as we talk to Guy Harrison about his new book, Think Before You Like. Bill is with us in Madison. Bill, hi.
Good afternoon.
What do you think?
Well, I was thinking of listening to him talking that, you know, interacting with social media over a computer is not interacting. I think you have to be face-to-face if you want to interact with somebody. You have no idea whether it's, well, I mean, let's just say Facebook, you could be talking to a computer for all you know. So that's my two cents worth.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. And a lot of people have this concern, Guy, that yeah, we think we're interacting and socializing. We're missing some serious stuff that we really need.
Yeah, the great comment right there. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, two things. One, many times you are talking to a machine and not a human being, whether you know it or not. And two, I touch on this in the book, that social media can be great if it connects you to other human beings, but not just digitally, but gets you in their presence, you know, connect with people, form a hiking group or a stamp collecting club, you know, online. But actually meet as well physically if you can. That's the real beauty of it. Because I tell you, we're, as humans, I mentioned earlier, we're social creatures, you know, we're primates. We thrive. We need that close, intimate connection with our own kind. And as the digital world exists now, it does not satisfy that. It teases it. It's sort of a diluted substitute for it, but it is definitely not a replacement. You will never be happy and content mentally if you are only interacting with people online. You need to be in the physical presence of people.
Thanks for that call, Bill. We heard from Matt in Wausau, who emails, social media exposed us for what we really are, like it or not. Do you agree with that, Guy, that whatever's bad on social media is just, you know, a reflection of what we are? Or is there something unique about social media that maybe amplifies some of the worst things in us?
Well, it goes both ways. I mean, yeah, social media is a human creation. It's an expression of us. There's no Martians, you know, posting stuff on Facebook. So, yeah, this is all human. This is humanity. Raw and unplugged right here before you, good and bad. But that said, we still have to also be aware that there are corporations, there are governments around the world that are using social media to just blatantly manipulate people. I mean, things going on. There's one example I give in the book about a Facebook document, executive document leaked, that was just really disturbing. It was in Australia. They were offering to advertisers to serve up targeted advertising to teenagers who were in the moment suffering extreme emotional stress, and they were distraught about their weight or maybe feeling suicidal and all that. And I don't think it went through because it all came out and they got in trouble about it, but they were actually seemed to be poised to, you know, allow help advertisers target extremely vulnerable young people you know, an emotional crisis. To do what? I mean, think about it. I'm not saying Facebook was doing this, but think about how bad that could be. You could have a, you know, a gun company, you know, putting ads right there in front of the screen in front of some 13-year-old who's having suicidal thoughts. And you could say, hey, cheap handgun for sale here or something. I mean, it's just amazing. I give many, many examples in the book of how many people are manipulated in ways they don't know. For example, real quick, I won't ramble too much, but Google searches. You search something in a low-income zip code, if you're, say, a young person, teenager, you'll get ads for the military. Join the Army today, you know, see the world, join the Navy. And a person the same age in the same country, United States, in a wealthier zip code, does a Google search for the same exact topic. They'll see ads coming up around in the, you know, as they surf around, they'll see ads coming up. You know, consider going to Princeton, you know, college is for you. Here's how you can get financial aid. So it's almost nudging their destiny along, you know, at that young age. I mean, that's not right.
Briefly, Guy, you have a top 16 list of the most used social media sites. I've heard of about 10 of them. Social media is a moving target. What we're talking about now might be different in 1 year. Is it hard for us, our minds, very briefly as we wrap up, to keep up with this changing landscape?
Yeah, it really is. You can't keep up with it. It's changing too fast. And just wait and see. Virtual reality is right around the corner. Facebook's investing billions in it. It's going to be, oh my gosh, if we think we have addiction problems now, oh my gosh, you ain't seen nothing yet. So yeah, the best advice I can offer people is be aware, be careful with your data. You know, I have a whole chapter on security. Use smart passwords. Public Wi-Fi, there's just things you have to be aware of. There's a short checklist, maybe 10 or 15 things every human on the planet should be aware of when on the internet, on social media. You want to protect yourself, protect your data, and you want to pay some attention to what's happening because it is a changing landscape.
Thanks to Guy Harrison. We've been talking about his latest book. It's called Think Before You Like, Social Media's Effect on the Brain and the Tools That You Need to Navigate Your Newsfeed.